Hi folks, it's time for another episode of the Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast with all the latest news and reviews from the Haven. Faz and Stubbsy from Trust in Haven welcome you to this latest episode of our podcast by the Whitehaven Rugby League Independent Supporters Trust. Here we go.
Okay, so it's been a while, but here we are back. It's 2022, 6th of January, the season only a matter of a few weeks away, so we're going to kick off the 2022 season, Haven podcast, Haven Rugby League Fans podcast. What better way to start it than inviting along the club's media officer to talk about the close season, to talk about the prospects for 2022, and it's Jordan Weir. So welcome along, Jordan, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you all. Cheers, Dave. Cheers, Paul.
Yeah, and also we have from his COVID retreat in Greater Manchester, joining us once again for 2022, we have Stubby, Paul Stubbs. Welcome along, Paul.
Hi, everybody. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah. Happy New Year, everybody. As I say, it's the first week in January, and the season's not too far away at all. We'll just sort of backtrack to the 2021. Jordan, I'm sure you'll agree, was a season to remember. So many highs, so many positives to come out of it. Yeah. What was your high points from 2021?
Remarkable, wasn't it? Really, looking at. You know, discussed probably plenty of times, a couple of times with yourself. You know, we were happy to take 12th, done the virtual launch night with Charlo and Johnny. And to be honest, they said the same. The aim was 12th. Make sure we stayed in the championship. And you know what a ride along it was been. It was absolutely fantastic. Highlights, putting 60 points on the winner's side at home. Yeah, they may not have been at full strength. You can only play what's in front of you. Former World Club champions, Cup Kings. Going to Oddsdale, getting Whitehaven's first win at Oddsdale since you used to, my lads. You know what I mean? Like you said, it's the first time since Whitehaven had won. And for myself, a bit of a personal highlight, being able to commentate on them games. I was very, very lucky to be involved with Radio Cumbria's coverage and ever grateful that I'll be involved once again this season, you know, to be able to be there and provide the commentary and provide the voices. You know, to be honest, what was a fantastic season for Whitehaven up and down the country. You know, 8 on the bounce at home, won 10 of our last 12 to nick that playoff spot with winning odds on the final game of the season to be able to nick that playoff spot and nearly beating Halifax as well. And you know, if we didn't have that 5-minute spell in the first half of conceding 2 tries, we probably would have beat Halifax that day as well. So 2021, absolutely fantastic. Whether it can be replicated in 2022, we can only wait and see. It's going to be really tough once again. Sides have strengthened. Newcastle's gone full-time. You expect York to do better with their sort of side. You know, witness yet again. So, you know, whether it can be replicated again in 2022, we can wait and see, but it's going to be a hell of a journey finding out.
Yeah. What about Paul? Any thoughts on 2021?
I can only sort of echo what Jordan said. One of my highlights, to be honest with you, was listening to Jordan commentate and him getting overexcited many a time. It was brilliant. It was absolutely fantastic. But the win at Bradford has got to be the highlight of the season. I mean, we went down to start with, and then we never looked back. It was unbelievable, and the fans were fantastic that day. They really were, especially the ones dressed as cheerleaders. That went down the storm, an absolute storm. I was in the pub at the end of the street at the top of the facing Oddsdale, and they couldn't believe what was walking up the street. They really couldn't. Yeah, and all credit to the team, the management, and everybody. We said we were hoping to stay up, and we sort of, what's the word? We outdid ourselves, really, didn't we?
We sure we did. Yeah, absolutely. So, as I say, great to look back on, but as I say, 2022 is here. It's a new challenge, and it's a challenge we'll face with a new look squad, both on and off the field. Jordan, Gary Charlton, after working so hard for four seasons at the club, has stood down. So, yeah, what do you make of the coaching team?
I mean, John, he's, you know, obviously I couldn't think of a better replacement for Charlo. You know, obviously being alongside, coming and absolutely turning this club around. You know, we were in, not on the field, but I think off the field, obviously the club had a lot of issues in 2018, which of course were well documented. Failed takeover bid, you know, more or less needed the fans' help to complete the season. And I think that did sort of affect on the field, that campaign, and we didn't really do ourselves justice after what was a fantastic 2017, and only, you know, let's be honest, a poor referee's call from going away to the Championship back then. But yeah, Charlo and Jonty coming in, absolutely fantastic. No one expected 2019. I mean, absolutely nobody expected 2019, maybe apart from them 2025 players and coach and staff that were involved. And, you know, it was a tough start to 2020, you know, 5-5 defeats. And I've said this a few times, and I always say it in the nicest possible way, COVID was a godsend for Whitehead and Rugby League on the field. It allows us to regroup. Obviously, null and voided the Championship, and, you know, they were able, Charlo and Jonty got a second bite of the cherry, and by God, they took it. Obviously, you know, in 2021. So, yeah, I couldn't think of a better replacement for Charlo than Jonty taking the reins. Spoke to Jonty obviously for the announcement, and you know he was thinking, you know, he was going to go alongside Charlo, and when the club offered him the head coach's role, he'd never been a head coach anywhere in the professional game, and only really sort of done it at college or schools and or that sort of level and service area levels as it was, and a couple of amateur sides. You know, the Cumbria amateur side he took alongside Charlo 15-20 years ago. So, but he, speaking to him, he couldn't turn down that opportunity. He couldn't turn down to see what he could do as the main man. And as he said to me, he said, Jordan, I may well turn around and get sacked in June, but at least I've given it a go. I know what I've done. I don't think he'll, you know, I'm fingers crossed he doesn't get sacked in June, because, you know, he's a fantastic fella. Is John? He's absolutely very approachable, very easy to speak to. And
absolutely,
once he gets going, a bit like myself, he doesn't shut up. So he's fantastic to interview, and he's absolutely fantastic to talk to. So, you know, Stephen Kirkbride's come in as his assistant coach. He'd been up at Kells, obviously former Whitehaven player, former Workham player. He knows the pro game pretty well there as well, and knows the talent within around the area that hopefully that we can tap into over the next couple of seasons. And the fitness there, Simon is brought in for the fitness staff as well. The lads are putting in some hard work down there, and it's not Charlo's old school regime of pushing the sleds up at Copeland Stadium. It's you know, it's a different way of looking at it, and hopefully it'll perform the results there as well. So, others in there as well, Kevin Heverington down there as well, obviously staying involved. And fantastic coaching staff as it seems. Like I said, I couldn't think of anyone better to take that coaching role than Jonty Gawley, and hopefully it pays dividends.
Yeah, as I say, Jonty's I think he's a real what's the word? Efficient, a really, what's the word? Thoughtful coach. Knows his stuff, and you know, I'm sure that'll translate into performances on the field once he gets the squad together and they get playing. So yeah, all the very best to Jonty, and as I say, I'm sure he'll do well. So yeah, good one there. So, We've talked about the sort of coaching side, but obviously a few changes on the playing side, Jordan. A few outs, but quite a few ins as well.
Yeah, a few outs as you've mentioned. I think well documented ones, and obviously going to be Lachlan Walmsley and Louis Dufresne. And obviously the rumours were doing the round the last few weeks of the season that many other clubs were after them, especially Lachlan, and you know who can blame them. A very well-known top end Super League club had serious conversations with Lachlan, and it's not for me to name that club, but he decided Halifax was going to be his best move alongside Louis, and You know, obviously we wish them all well. You know, obviously, you know, these lads have, especially Lachlan, you know, he's come over. Obviously, he was looking to cement his place in the World Cup squad, and he obviously that it didn't take place. But obviously, they had that international against Jamaica, and he was in there, and he was a goal kicker in what sounded like an enthralling 30-yard draw down at Featherston. But yeah, no, he done what he wanted to do. He come on and put himself in the spotlight, and you know, you can't blame these lads for wanting to go on and better themselves. And you know, we would love both of them to stay at Whitehaven. You know, they were absolutely fantastic. You know, not just on the field but off the field with both of them as well. Obviously, Louis only come in halfway through the season, but both of them doing the sort of community work in the latter part of the season. You know, going out to the likes of Kells and St. Begsy's School, and you know, they were absolutely fantastic. And there will be a big miss, but you know, some of the lads that they've brought in, if they can have the impact that Lachlan and Louis had, yeah. You know, I think we'll be absolutely laughing. But yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's going to be a big miss. They're big shoes to fill. I think I called Lachlan Lawsley a genius on many occasions. Paul will probably say I've said it two or three times in commentary, because you know, some of them finishes he brought in last season were absolutely immense, and you know, he's been done that. But if we can see the likes of that from Will Evans and Ashley Bishop and Josh Martin, and sorry, I said Ashley Alex, I meant Alex Bishop, but you know, if you can see the sort of them from that, and Geronimo Doyle's going to be an absolutely live wire. He's got the number one jersey, going to be an absolute live wire at fullback. We've seen a couple of times what he's done for Swinton. You know, on the other league streams, he'd scored, you know, an absolutely outstanding try in the Challenge Cup right at the start of last season. So, yeah, don't get me wrong, there's going to be some big losses there, but these players we've brought in can hit the ground running. There's no reason why, you know, they can't replace the boots of Lachlan and Louis and Greg McNally. You know, obviously, mentioned there, obviously, Greg's gone to Rochdale, family commitments meant he had to stay closer to home. And obviously, you know, we wish him all well down there at Rochdale's. You know, obviously, we always wish he could have stayed. He'd have been a fantastic addition once again to this squad. But yeah, the players we've got, I don't think, hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll have nothing to worry about in looking to stay in the Championship once again this season.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say once again, a big sort of influence from Australia in terms of recruitment. The links the club has have served them really well last year. So we'll be looking with interest to see how the new guys like Will Evans and Alex Bishop and Josh Martin, see how these guys go. The pedigree seems to be very similar to Lachlan and Nick R. Williams. And I don't know, so, you know, I say we'll be watching them with interest, and hopefully they'll, as you say, hit the ground running.
Yeah, I mean, speaking to Ashley Kilpatrick, who's obviously part of the club's football committee, I mean, he was going on about Alex Bishop. The club had chased him for a number of years, and
right.
Alex had decided he wanted to stay in Australia. You know, he was, you know, he always, you know, I want to come over and I want to give myself, but I want to see final season in Australia. And COVID sort of paid to that. I think he probably would have come over for maybe last season if COVID hadn't been around.
Yeah.
But you know, the club's got his man. Obviously, you know, Ashley's joined the club's board of directors and obviously the football committee alongside Mark Stamford and Gary Charlton. But Ashley's forged his links with the agents down in Australia, and as you mentioned, it paid dividends last season. So Will Evans has got pedigree coming from the Burley Bears, you know, Queensland Cup. That's, you know, it's a fantastic competition.
That's right.
It's, you know, it's probably the top end of Queensland Cup would probably compete with bottom end of Super League, top end of the Championship. It is, you know, it is that sort of competition, it is that sort of standard and that sort of competition. So you know, I'm excited to see what these boys can do. Get them in the chocolate blue and gold, the new chocolate blue and gold kit for 2022, which yet again is another piece of beauty. But if we can get them in there, we can get them in and get these boys running as Lachlan and Nick out and Kingy when he finally made his debut later on in the season. If they can get the ground running like that and we get a full season out of them without any injuries disrupting them, so it's going to be interesting to see how they get on next year, or this year.
I just see Kingy play a full season, I must admit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it's, you know, COVID's playing its factor again. You know, obviously, the latest figures from even just up around the head, it's a bit scary, to be fair. Copeland Barrow and Allerdale all in the top 10 per 100,000 in the country for COVID cases, with Copeland and Barrow being 1 and 2 respectively. So yeah, it's been absolutely rife around here, and you know, you've got to hope that once the winter dies out, that as it did in 2021, cases started to fall again, and hopefully we don't have disruption. You know, Whitehaven, I think we were one of only 2, possibly 3 clubs in the Championship back in 21 that played all of their games.
Yeah.
And we were lucky that we didn't have to go to, we were never scheduled to go to Toulouse. So obviously that helped, because obviously I think Toulouse never played a league game at home. They only ever played the playoff semi-final and the playoff final. So, I mean, yeah, and I think clubs, I mean, not. I mean, obviously there seemed to be a lot more performance in the Super League than there was in Championship and League One, although our neighbours were affected in League One a couple of times, and Barrow as well with COVID performance. So, you know, I think we were really lucky to escape it. Whether we'll be as lucky next year, obviously, you know, this year, as I say, we're not going to know until obviously the season gets up and running. But the lads will take the precautions as they have done, but obviously it's a part-time league. They've got to go to work. The work is their main source of income. Rugby's just, you know, rugby obviously is just part of that income, and then obviously supplements it. So, you know, obviously they're going to go to work. They've still got families and such things like that. So where the NRL will obviously be able to put themselves in COVID bubbles, you couldn't do that over here. You know, not even in the Super League could you really do that. You know, you haven't. So you can't expect it from, you know, these sort of lads. So, like I say, it's just going to be a waiting game. Hopefully it doesn't pay a massive factor. But I think the punishments for those, that's the new punishments, the new guidelines, supposedly going to be 48-0 forfeits rather than 24-0, which obviously is going to make a massive difference. And there's not going to be points percentage. For it looks like it's going to be points. So the points percentage is out of the equation. I don't have to get my calculator out as I did for the last game of the season and try and work out who needed to do what. You know, it's going to be simply based on points, whoever gets the most points. So teams are going to obviously want to look to fulfil fixtures, and you know, whether maybe last season was the easy option, you know, easy option. I'm not saying any club, you know, I'm not naming any clubs or saying any clubs, but there was more clubs that had more performance than others, and at times. So clubs aren't going to want to do that if they're taking 48-0. So they will make sure they can take all the precautions necessary to make sure that they get their season completed and make sure they can compete to the highest level they can.
Yeah, very good. So before the season starts on the last weekend in January, obviously we're now at this part of the year it's called pre-season. Big game coming up next week, Jordan, at Derwent Park.
Yeah, they're always big games, Whitehaven working out, but it's never a friendly. I spoke to our new club captain, who's not yet been named, but the club will be announcing that tomorrow night as we're speaking. That'll be Friday night. I asked him the question. I said, you know, it's obviously it's a friendly, but Wormans and Whitehaven games aren't friendly. So the simple four to five word answer that come back to me is, yeah, we've got to win that one, haven't we? So yeah, it's never a friendly between Whitehaven and Wormans. And obviously, you know, the more important thing for the both set of clubs is obviously the money coming through the gate, because it's always a shared gate for the Ike games. So obviously get through, support the lads as much as you can, because it is a shared gate. So more Whitehaven fans have come through, there's going to be more money going into Whitehaven's coffers. But yeah, the most important thing is that both clubs are just going to be looking to get game time. Possibly going to be when it's just going to be the 17 players, and it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be typical pre-season of 20-21 players. Possibility it's going to be 17 and interchanges. So the club are hoping to announce another friendly once it's ratified by the RFL in the coming days there as well. So this won't be our only hit out. Fingers crossed.
Will that be a home game, Jordan?
I couldn't say at the moment. Like you say, it's got to be ratified before the RFL. Yeah. The club are hoping to get another one in the bank. There has been discussions with a number of clubs, and for whatever reasons, you know, it hasn't come off. So that's why it hasn't been announced yet. And you know, we're still looking to get that 100% ratified. But you know, there will hopefully be a second friendly, because, like you said, I think even when the video went out with Chris Foreman and Johnny Gawley, which was very kindly done by Gary McKeaton of Workington, and was allowed for us to use on the club socials as well as Workington, both of them said that, you know, they wanted to be as competitive as it can be, because obviously, you know, the season with the World Cup being brought to 2022, our season's probably starting 3 weeks earlier than what it would have done. You know, obviously, I mean, we call it Summer Rugby League, but we're playing Lee on the 29th of January. You know, it's still in the midst of winter, isn't it? And it's always got earlier and earlier since Summer Rugby was brought over with the Super League in 96. So, I mean, that started in March, nearly April. And here they are now, we're starting in January with a number of teams and a number of rounds and that being played now. But yeah, I think the Hague game is going to be a really competitive fixture. Looking forward to it. It'll be Workington's second hit out. You know, they're playing Barrow this weekend, which I'm actually going to be going down and covering for League Express. So get to see a little bit of teaser of what Workington will offer. But I think that'll be more of a friendly vibe with you know, number of players being James, sort of unlimited interchanges as it were. So it'll be Workington's first real hit out in anger, if you want to call it, where it'll be 17 named, looks to be, I imagine, against us. It's going to be big. It's going to be big. Obviously, Whitehaven are the holders of the Ike Southwood Memorial Trophy following Callum Phillips's last minute try back in 2020. Obviously, it didn't take place with COVID and the disparity between the two club seasons from Whitehaven and Workington and Championship in League One last year. So, Workington's turned to host it. Like I said, it is a shared gate once all expenses are taken. So more Whitehaven fans would go through and cheer Johnny's side on. It's going to be more money in Whitehaven's coffers there as well. So, looking forward to it. And then, you know, the season doesn't, you know, season getting underway. As you mentioned, 29th of January, away to Lee doesn't get much tougher really, does it? So, you know, Johnny will be looking for you know, his side to get as many minutes as possible going into the Championship season.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, so, you know, message to Whitehaven fans, don't be parochial, guys. Let's get along to Derwent Park.
We support Whitehaven
as much as you're supporting the town.
Yeah, we know there's fans of both sides. I'm not going through there. I'm not giving them my money. And, you know, it's sort of that sort of attitude that it's kind of held both clubs back over the years, if we're being honest, that sort of mental attitude. But, you know, yeah, it's always a shed gate for the Ike Memorial. You know, obviously in memory of a Cumbrian Rugby League legend, obviously a Workington Rugby League legend there as well. But yeah, it's most more importantly, a Cumbrian Rugby League legend in memory of Ike. So yeah, we want as many fans there as possible. I mean, the two derby fixtures in the league, well, only two at the moment, possibly three because the summer bust hasn't been announced. But from what I'm hearing, it's not meant to be Whitehaven Workington, which would be a real shame, but that's only rumours I'm hearing on the grapevine. That's nothing official from the club or anything like that. That's just rumours I'm hearing that we won't be playing Workington at the Summer Bash, which would be a real shame. But, you know, again, but be able to, you know, the two derby fixtures this season is something that we can really look forward to in the first competitive derby fixture since 2019. So, which was a fantastic occasion in that 12-all draw that, at the Reckley on that afternoon. And that, obviously, there was that Easter Friday derby as well through Workington where Whitehaven won on that occasion. So, looking forward to the derby fixtures, looking forward to get back onto it, looking forward to commentate and give my voice to hopefully some fantastic moments once again. But promise to be fantastic, and let's wait and see what the season holds.
I say it's all coming around very quickly. Just backtracking a couple of things there. First thing is the Summer Bash is back, which is great, but it's not going to be at Blackpool. It's going to be at Headingley. Disappointed.
Yeah, I'll be honest, it still hasn't been officially announced as Headingley, but I think, yet again, the rumours have done the rounds and nothing stays quiet in rugby league for once. And it looks like we'll be heading to Headingley. Disappointing because Blackpool's a cracking weekend. You know, especially in that, as it normally is, that bank holiday weekend, that week before bank holiday, the weather for Blackpool, the weather's somehow, we've never had a poor weather for the Summer Bash when I've been. And you know, considering Blackpool's, you know, as it is, it's, you know, it's got its own little climate there, as most of the Northwest has. So, I was disappointed. But, if it's going to be Headingley, it's an opportunity to play in world-class facilities. You know, obviously, the Rhinos have done a lot of work there alongside Yorkshire and Yorkshire Cricket and Yorkshire Carnegie, or the Leeds Carnegie these days. We've got to the Carnegie, whatever the rugby league, rugby union side's called these days. But it's a fantastic set with Headingley. It always has been. And, you know, to be able to play in them sort of facilities and such things, it will hopefully be a fantastic occasion. I don't think many as many fans will go. Just with it being at Leeds, yeah. I can see Paul shaking his head. I think Blackpool just gives you that opportunity for the weekend there as well. You know, you can do your side's games on the Saturday or Sunday, whatever they may be, but you know, you can go on to Blackpool on the Saturday night, or if it's the bank holiday the Sunday night, such things. And you know, you can find entertainment anywhere, wherever you want. There's something for everyone really in Blackpool, isn't there? So disappointed it's not going to be at Blackpool. Headingley seems to be the likely location we would be in. 99% done, I'd say. But you know, really disappointed it's not at Blackpool, but you know, whether it returns there, it will be fantastic. I think obviously just being obviously with having to move, it's been moved to the end of July. I think it's just going to be a bit too close with work needing done for the football season for Blackpool's pitch. So it's proved that we can't go to Blackpool, unfortunately, this season, but you know, hopefully we'll return there in the future. And you never know, Leeds could prove to be a popular venue, as it has been for the old grand final days when there was the Championship and League One's days out.
Yeah.
It was 20,000. You know, I think the last Grand Finals day at Headingley would have been 2007. Was it Castleford and Widnes, where there was almost 20,000 there? So you know, and that was a long time ago. So hopefully it does get sold out, and many fans get down. You know, and some fans do make the opportunity of visiting maybe Headingley for their first time, and you know, visit Leeds. You know, it's a fantastic city, Leeds as well. So you know, like you say, disappointed it's not at Blackpool. Looks like it's going to be Leeds. Headingley's a fantastic stadium, a fantastic opportunity for our lads to play in a world class stadium, and hopefully pick up 2 points whenever that may be.
I think you've hit the nail on the head, to be honest with you, Jordan. I mean, I took my missus last time. Dave took his missus last time. They were interested in rugby. They went shopping. They went to the Blackpool, I do believe. And I think that's the problem. Headingley. It's miles away from anywhere. It's nowhere near the city centre. So we'll wait and see. Wait and see.
See how it goes. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Just backtracking on just coming back to the playing squad. We talked about the overseas players, and as I say, we absolutely waiting with bated breath to see how they go. But I think it'd be unfair not to mention the more local recruits to the squad. For this year, Jordan. I mean, Jake Moore back in the team. Great lad, great lad, great player. Great to have him back on board.
Yeah, great, absolutely great having him on board. And obviously, you know, he only left the club initially to go to Ottawa, and we all know what happened with that. They'll be playing in Penzance, or whether they'll be playing next season as Cornwall, and obviously that didn't go as it was. So you know, Jake was disappointed he couldn't get his opportunity full time it was a real shame, because you know the lad deserved an opportunity, whether in a full time rugby. Obviously it was only going to be at League One level, but pretty much could have probably done what Toronto done and pretty much stormed the leagues and got themselves challenging up there at the top of the Championship. So it would have been a fantastic opportunity for Jake. I think he would have loved to come back to Whitehaven, but at the time budget wasn't available. He went and done a job at Workington. He wanted to continue playing rugby, and no one will hold that against him. You know, there's plenty of players over the years who've done both. I mean, just looking down, I've got our squad in front of us. There's Callum Phillips, ex-Workington, James Newton, ex-Workington, Jake Miller, ex-Workington. You know, and there's been plenty of one over the years. Brett Phillips, Chris Coward, Mark Shapley's done both. You know, there's plenty of players over the years that'll do both. And, you know, that's just what it is these days. You know, there isn't the tribalism off the field as when these lads are playing. And, you know, they're going to go where they can play rugby league. So, you know, Jake done well. He picked up an injury towards the back end of this season and never really featured in the playoff games, I think, for Chris Foreman there. So, but to be able to get him back into Whitehaven, back in the Championship, blue and gold, fantastic. You know, goal kicking as well. So gives Johnny that sort of option there as well. Plenty of goal kickers by the looks of it. I think you've obviously got Connor, Jake, you've got a couple, I think some of the Aussies can kick goals there as well. So you're going to have plenty of options in goal kickers, and just giving us well-rounded options. A player that's going to feel like a new signing as well is Glenn Riley. Glenn's looking really well in training. He's really trimmed up, and obviously had his issues with injuries over the last couple of seasons, and obviously COVID paid to 2020, where he would have made sort of a comeback and still sort of struggled, unfortunately, with injuries at the back end of obviously if, you know, for last season there as well. So he's going to feel like a new signing. Liam McAvoy coming in, you know, he's got the number 8 shirt from from Mark Shapley. He's going to feel like a new signing. Well, he's a new signing, but you know, to get him, he's now completely the Cumbrian treble. You know, Whitehaven's been chasing him for a number of years as well. It is, you know, with Newcastle going full time, you know, that wasn't an opportunity for him. So Whitehaven snapped up on that, and all the better for him. But yeah, I mean, one person I'm really going to look forward to seeing there as well, and he's not exactly local, but still localish, is Guy Graham. He had an absolutely fantastic impact coming in. You know, he coming in on trial, having never played a rugby league game in his life.
Absolutely.
Coming from playing a background of playing rugby union, and you know, really, really impressed, and got better game by game to pick up rugby league and its nuances compared to rugby union really, really quickly. And he was rewarded with a spot in the Scotland squad at the end of the season. I don't think he played, if memory serves me right, in the game against Feverson, but to be able to get into that squad under less than 6 months' experience shows how well he's done. So yeah, you know, right across the squad, only sort of a small squad. I'll be honest, I was expecting probably two or three more players in there, but Johnny's happy with 24 as he's named there at the minute. Whether there's possibly opportunity for one or two to come in maybe later on during the season, maybe looking at loans, or maybe season on loans, because obviously dual registration sort of come back, and I don't think we're going to go down that route. Dual registration sort of reared its head again, which I'm not really a fan of, but you know, you get used and abused pretty easily, unfortunately. But it's there this season, so clubs are going to use it. But I was probably expecting two or three more. You know, think about the number of players we used last season. I think it was around about the 30 mark, possibly even more. You know, we had likes of Ronan Michael coming in, Aidan Roden coming in on loan, and brought in Oscar Thomas, and brought in Louis, and you know, brought in others who. Guy Graham, we brought in Adam Purewell, who, you know, unfortunately only ever made the one appearance before circumstances dictated he could no longer stay with the club. You know, it was, you know, we used a lot of players last season. So, Johnny will be open. Obviously, a lot of these lads don't get injuries because there's not that much to back it up. But the squad that's there, is the quality there is throughout from 1 to 23, and then Glenn Riley went in 30. There's quality right throughout, and I wouldn't want to be Johnny having to pick a 13 on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, well, that's a problem I'm sure he'll be glad to have. So yeah, that's been brilliant, and I think you've answered a lot of people's questions. What people have been asking me and saying, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? We're starting to get near the end of this. First edition of the Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast. So only one more question, I think, before we say we've signed up for the night. Just one question. Where will we finish in the league this year?
We're going to win it. No, I'd love to say we're going to win it, but you know, let's be realistic. It's going to be really tough to replicate last season. I don't think anyone's under any illusions. You know, the club, we more or less secured our safety at Newcastle with that win. The pressure was off and the lads could go and play rugby league. Okay. Pressure's back on this season, but you know, we're going to be a stronger. Most of these lads have been with us last season. They know exactly what it's about. The players that we've brought in have brought brought quality and such things like that. So I'd love to say we sneak the playoffs again. I'd love to see it, but possibly. I'm going to go for it. Yeah, it's certainly possible because you know, rugby league's not played on paper. Because if you played it on paper, if it was played on paper, let's be honest, we'd all be saying 12 because of what our budget is and such things like that. But if rugby league's not played on paper, it's played on grass. And as I've said, these lads have got a fantastic team spirit. I was fortunate enough to be one of only a very few amount of people to watch every game of these live last season. And I was in a very privileged position to be able to do that. Even the behind closed doors friendly at Newcastle with about 10 people were. Mm. So, you know, it was fantastic to see them grow. And I feel like this side can do this again. Obviously, we've kept the majority of it. And I'd like to say eighth, that sort of area, comfortable mid-table as it would be, not in a relegation battle. And if we can challenge for the playoffs on the end of that, I'd be very happy.
I think so.
If we can sneak that last playoff place, because yet again, we don't know what anybody's playing for. We don't know what anyone's playing for in 2023 once again. But if we can sneak as high as we can, get as much central funding in as we can, and continue to build, and make sure that we secure this championship status, hopefully for a long
time.
Another
season.
Yeah, wow. I think we'll be all happy with that.
Yeah, and what about, last word, Paul, what do you think?
Well, we were talking earlier on, weren't we, Dave?
Yeah.
I said sixth. I've been optimistic. Really want that playoff place. But I think you could be right. I'd be happy to stay comfortable mid-table.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. That's considered opinion of three people. I'm sure everybody has their own thoughts on it, but we'll see how things go. It's been great to start the season off with this first edition 2022 Waven Rugby League Fans Podcast. Thanks very much, Jordan, for joining us. We look forward to hearing your commentaries throughout the season. And as I say, whatever happens, we'll be kept in touch and kept up to date by yourself. So thanks for that once again. We look forward to that. We look forward to having you back and maybe a podcast throughout the season as things develop. So for now, that's it for the first edition 2022 Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast. Thanks, guys, and we'll catch up with you at a game in the not-too-distant future, hopefully. Bye for now.
Cheers, bye.
See you soon, fellas.
Bye. Thank you, Jordan.
Okay, so yeah, thanks, Andrew, there, Paul. And just in the few minutes left of the podcast, obviously the club's gearing up for the season, the trust's gearing up for the season, and we've just been looking at our membership list, and I think you've one or two things you just want to flag up to trust members.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. What it is, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who listen to this regular, I've been going through the people who have access to the members part of the website. And unfortunately, there are some people who appear to have access who haven't paid for a few years. Now, this is an oversight on our part. As you well know, I took this over from John. A couple of years ago, 3 years ago, and I didn't realise this had happened. So if anybody hasn't got access to the website after next weekend, the reason being is you are not a paid up member. If anybody has any queries after this time and they want to get in touch with me, please do get in touch with me. Or if you just want to pay your subs, you can pay by PayPal, or you can get in touch with Dave and he will take a cash payment off you. The subs remain the same. It's £21 for playing by PayPal, or £20 paid to Dave, or £10 for a concession, or £11 for a concession if you play on PayPal. It's not a lot, and you do get access to all the games and other content on the website. So that's it, basically, Dave. But once again, it will, after next weekend, I will go through it with a fine tooth comb, and anybody who hasn't got access, then it means they are not a paid up member. If you, like I say, if you want to query this, you can get in touch with me or get in touch with Dave, and we'll point out what's happening.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay,
for that.
That's it. Sorry to be a bit of a
What I would say is, we do have a loyal membership, but obviously people through just forgetting things or not being too sure, do miss the subscription payment. And as I say, we'd like to keep everybody on board. This season, you can see the games, the full 80 minutes of the games will be available on the evening or the 24 hours after the game finishes. So people won't be able to get along the recreation ground, as we've just heard, but they will be able to watch full coverage of the games through our members-only site. And I would stress it's all members-only. So it's good value, £20 or £10, and you'll see every game that's played in the 2021 season. But you've got to be in it. You've got to be a member. So, as I say, I'd ask people to pay their subscriptions. We'll keep sending reminders out. And if you have any problems, get in touch with us. Just in terms of fundraising, I'll just draw your attention back to what Andrew was saying about the potential youth system, your potential academy. As I say, that's something we've always been very keen to support. And given the timescales, it does seem a long time, but it does give us a chance to set up some fundraising things. And we have on our website an easy fundraising account, which means that every time you shop online, whether it's at Tesco's or whether it's at whatever, or you know,
eBay,
Amazon, whatever, there will be a small commission will be paid from what you pay in, so it costs you nothing, and part of that will go into the easy fundraising, Trusting the fundraising account, and that money will accumulate and will be used to support the academy and youth development. So please go on to the trustinhaven.com and sign up for the easy fundraising, and let's get this thing moving. Okay, right, so that's it for this week. That was the Haven Fans Podcast 3, brought to you by Trustinhaven. If you want to join us on a future one, email us at trustinhaven@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We want to hear yours, what you have to say, and let's just keep the interest up. So thanks very much for now, Paul.
Yeah, stay safe, everybody. Hopefully see you soon.
And we'll be back in a few weeks with the next edition. Thank you.
Well, folks, that's all for another episode of Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast. Produced by Trust in Haven, the Whitehaven Rugby League Independent Supporters Trust. Hope you enjoyed it and will join us for our next podcast. To find out more, visit our website at www.trustinhaven.com.